The Money Show.
Small business.
The Small Business Focus brought to you by PwC. PwC helps private companies build, grow, and evolve their businesses through the tough times and the good times. Yeah, one day through the good times too. Pablo Fatini, you didn't get invited to the birthday party either.
No, I didn't. I'm shocked and horrified.
I'm hurt. We're talking about Warren Ingram's birthday because he's just got much older. And so we wish him happy birthday and don't choke on your cake. No, really, we don't want you to choke. We want you to come and spend time with us again. But thanks for the invite, really. Now, listen, people make a difference. I mean, people can either lift you up or they can disappoint you like Warren has. Or they can add value or they can suck the energy out of a room. People in a business, particularly a small business where there are only a handful of you, adding one person to a team of two increases the staff complement by a third. Adding one to four adds 20%. I mean, it's a very significant addition to a small team, and one person makes a hell of a difference.
They do, Bruce. And you know, it's what really got me focused on the people issue this week is the appointment of the new Eskom CEO. And I followed extensively all the commentary around it. Who were the other candidates? How was the process undertaken? Etc., etc., etc. And it always does create a lot of apprehension around whether you bring someone new in or whether you take someone within and let them rise to the challenge presented by the business itself. The reality is, in any business, it never should stay the same. If your business is not growing, I can promise you, you're dying. If you're growing at 5-6% a year, you are not quite dying, but you're right on the edge. You're teetering. You're going backwards very definitively. If you are growing, because the environment is complex and because getting growth in the environment requires a lot of active change in the business on an ongoing basis, it creates a lot of challenges around the people issue. How do you get your right people to do the right thing at the right time? And how do you know whether people can rise with the tide, as in when you grow the business and as in when you make the changes to sustain that growth and to keep that growth regulated and possible?
So when it comes to appointing from within, I mean, you talk about Eskom has had to go outside because it hasn't cultivated. It didn't have a succession plan. It hasn't cultivated from within. And so they've gone and found Andre de Ruyter. There were 143 other candidates. I mean, the fact that there were so many candidates suggests that there's plenty of work for psychologists around, because you've got to need help in order to do that job. Some companies do cultivate very effectively from inside. Some companies pay lip service to it and fail dismally to do so. I've got a couple of examples of companies that are doing it well, and maybe we should applaud them. I mean, Bidvest, for example, went from the founder Brian Joffe for 30 years to Lindsay Ralphs, and he's going to hand over fairly soon, I think, to Mpumi Madisa, who's also been grown for the last decade from within Bidvest. And sometimes it's good to have somebody with the institutional knowledge, somebody who has grown up within the business to continue with the culture, to continue, particularly a successful business. You don't want an underperforming business to have an underperforming successor to an underperforming predecessor, if you know what I mean. But it's good to build on the success of successful people, surely.
It depends what growth means. If growth is going to be generated if the growth is being generated, or if the environment of the business, if the environment of the business stays the same, then without a doubt, I completely agree with you. But if the environment of business is going to change dramatically, and a business finds itself in an extremely competitive new set of circumstances. So I'll give you an example. You know, in South Africa, the financial services sector is really not a competitive sector at all. A competitive environment that I've seen in operation in the financial services space exists within the UK. Mm-hmm. And in that environment over there, there are about 300 banks, established banks, incumbent banks, neo banks, challenger banks, and then SaaS banks, software as a service banks. They're all fighting for what is quite a limited pie at this point in time. And what that fight does, and what the level of competition does, through sheer necessity, it drives innovation. And innovation is very well attended at the moment to accelerate technological advancement. We're getting better at broadband. We are getting better devices. We are getting smarter programming capabilities. We're learning more and more about technology. So right on their edge, the survivalist businesses, in order to survive, Bruce, have to innovate. And what they do is they create a completely new set of circumstances that the more established businesses now have to trade within. If you have the same incumbents and you have risen and nurtured and grown people internally through the business who are used to operating in one business environment, now asked to lead a position where their business environment is fundamentally different, you might not have gotten, let's call it, that progress quite right. You might not have that internal aptitude and talent set that suits that new business environment. So it depends very much, in my view, where the business growth comes from and what drives that business growth, whether you can source internally or whether you have to go externally.
Okay, so growth and complexity is one big issue. But then, how then do you choose the next leader, the next generation of leaders? Because you're choosing somebody to come into an organization or to run a department or to run a unit, whatever it might be, who may be there for a decade, maybe longer.
There might well be. And, you know, the argument that I was put to any business owner that I work with, I always say position or purpose before people. The starting point in getting the people equation right is to understand why you do what you do. What is the reason for the business to exist? And we have spoken about this extensively. A business today has to solve a clearly defined problem for a clearly defined group of customers. If you can get that right, and to my mind, that's one of the toughest things to get right. And it's tough to get right because in the early stages, Bruce, you will try and serve everyone and anything that comes through that door because you need the cash flow. But it takes a time. You get to a point where you've got to learn to say no, because through no, you discover who you are and what you stand for. Straight after that, you then must build the systems to deliver on that purpose. And once you've got systems, you now have the ability to find the right people to operate those systems for you. So we need to get that right in, let's say, the first 7 years of a business's establishment. But here's the thing, getting that right will lead to growth. And what that growth means is it bears down on the business. It creates strain on the business. So all the systems that you developed, in order to get the right people on board, in order to generate that growth, need to be revisited and relooked at. And in doing that, you in effect break the systems ever so slightly in order to reshape them and rebuild them to bear more weight from growth. And that's where the challenge of people comes in.
Because growth does fundamentally change a business. I mean, we all want it. We all chase it. And then you're like the dog that catches the bus. And you got suddenly you got it like the bus stops. You go, oh, it showed you. Oh, hell, now I've got to eat the bus.
Yeah.
And that's a really big problem for a lot of companies that aren't yet ready. They assume they want it. They're so busy growing that they're not keeping up with systems and processes and ensuring that they can absorb the growth, that suddenly they get the growth and that can break them.
You know, it's actually quite a good analogy, because if you imagine that your business is traveling as one would in a car and you put your foot flat on the accelerator, there's a very, very different skill set that can cope with 100 kilometers per hour as opposed to 300 kilometers per hour. You still are going to have the bumps in the road. You're still going to have the bends and the turns and the uphills and the downhills. You're still going to have people walking where they shouldn't and people driving where they ought not to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Handling the car at 100 kilometers an hour and handling it at 300 kilometers an hour requires a very, very different capability set. And the one thing that I fundamentally believe in is that you should always, always, always promote and create opportunity for people within the business itself. But I'll give you a good example. What happens if, in order to cope with that growth, one of the most fundamental things you must get right is with that growth, as it happens, start looking at where the heavy processing, repetitive, ongoing work is taking place. To scale the business properly, in other words, to build a muscle to cope with that weight of new growth, you're going to be digitizing and you're going to be automating. And that means people who might well have operated those activities in a manual state or analog state would need to upskill and rise to the occasion of learning how to work with computers, with software, with automated plants, with CNC lathes that are CAD programmed, or whatever the case might be. If those individuals don't have that ability, you then have to start sourcing elsewhere. Because if you don't, Bruce, if you don't, you're not going to be able to support that growth. So the choice is, well, do you continue with the growth or do you hold it back and wait for someone to rise with the tide?
You can't.
No, you can't.
Surely.
You absolutely can't.
But you also have to manage that process quite carefully because you've got three potential successes. You're the boss. Your general manager has decided to move on, or you've moved your general manager on, or whatever the case might be. They weren't coping. And there are three potential people within your organization who could replace that general manager. And, yeah, they'll be fine. But they're not what you need in order to get the growth going or to absorb the growth or to drive that growth. So you're going to appoint somebody from the outside, and invariably one, two, or three of those people who are very good at what they do within your organization may be terribly offended and hurt and may choose, look, there's no future for me in this place. I'm going to leave. And then you can do a lot of damage that way too, surely.
Absolutely you can. And that's why I think that when you grow and when you make the changes in order to support that growth, you've got to have, if you have a deep understanding of your business, but a profound understanding of your business, it means that you've gotten to a point where you've built a business that has, through its positioning, through its systems, through its people, released a fair degree of your time. And if you've got the time to take back and reflect on the business and consider where the growth is going to come from, consider what changes need to be made in order for that growth to come about, you also should have the time to sit back and reflect based on the behavior of your current staff, who is best suited and who's not. Because you're absolutely right. A big mistake that I often see is you have this rock star salesperson. They really have a fantastic way with people. They are really good at prospecting. They're really good at engaging new clients. They're really good at working with established clients. And because they do well, and because they're good at sales, and an opportunity comes now with the growth that you're going to bring on another two, three salespeople, meaning that you need a sales manager, do you take that rock star salesperson and make them a sales manager? I've done it before, and it was a fundamental mistake because the action and the activities and the aptitude and the skill set to manage people is very, very different to that of being at the coalface of the business as a hunter and engaging clients. So you're absolutely right. You need to reflect very carefully who you bring on board and why. Who you have inside your business and how they could adapt to the new position before you offer it to those individuals, because they will leave. I've had that before too.
Pavlo Fatidis from Auric Business Accelerator. We're more with him in a moment.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield is proudly brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking, the bank that believes long-term partnerships deliver sustainable results. That's Africanacity. Absa is a registered FSP. The Money Show. Small business.
I helped build this business, Pavlo.
Yeah, you certainly might well
I've
have helped
been
with it.
Here for 10 years. I've done my time, the late nights, the public holidays, the weekends. You're not rewarding my loyalty.
Yeah, so there's a big difference, Bruce, between loyalty and, let's call it, value. There's a big difference between the two. Loyalty definitely plays into value when it comes to your staff, without a doubt. But here's the thing, and it's not your fault, my fault, or anyone else's fault. The world of work is changing quite dramatically. We pretty much know that the educational institutions that exist at the moment are unable to keep up with that change. The people that are being produced out of schooling systems, out of university systems, all institutions of learning are not well adapted and necessarily capable to keep up with the rate and the pace of change in the work environment. And a large part of that is because of technology. It's happening at a remarkable pace. It's also being driven by massive changes in legislation. You know, I was reading, I cannot remember the exact number, But the number of laws passed within the EU over the last year is upwards of, I think, 4,000 and something brand new laws. So keeping up with change is hard. And I often wonder, whose responsibility is it? Is it yours as a business owner to ensure that your team is fully capacitated all the time on your account at your cost by you alone? Or is it also the responsibility of a staff member to constantly keep themselves upskilled, capable, and valuable to you in the business? Because if you make decisions based on sentiment alone, the likelihood of those decisions being good decisions is poor.
And so, ultimately, I mean, every business has to face this, where you've got people who are on the bus and are going to stay as passengers. There are people who are going to be drivers. There will occasionally be people who become conductors. And occasionally, people have to get off the bus. And sometimes you have to, you know, you can upskill people who are willing and eager to learn. You can outsource the bits that people can't do or don't want to do or won't do. And as for the rest, you have to say you have done a remarkable job to get us to this point, but you are not going to take us to the World Cup or whatever you may choose, whatever analogy you may choose to do. And those people, tragically, at some point, may have to go.
They might have to go. And it's an incredibly hard thing to do because perhaps, you know, through no fault of theirs alone, they weren't able to rise with the tide. So the decision you need to make as a business owner, and Bruce, you know, running a business means making decisions. In making those decisions, you must be very clear on who you're serving. The single purpose of being a business owner should be to build a business that makes a profit and grows in order for it to be sustainable so that tomorrow it's still there and next year it's still there. So that should be the primary responsibility that you take on board as a business owner. And when you adopt that point of view, it really does help create clarity around making the right decisions as opposed to perhaps decisions clouded by more emotion and sentiment, because that emotion and sentiment very seldom actually pays a dividend and pays a return. In fact, it mostly generates a problem for you. And I'll tell you why. The business grows, the environment grows, the complexity grows, and all of a sudden, someone who was remarkable, someone who was confident, someone who flourished in that role is unable to perform in that role. And when people are unable to perform, they themselves lose confidence. They themselves lose the meaning in the work that they do. And they themselves don't benefit or gain anything further from it.
Pavlo Fotiades, Auric Business Accelerator, running a business and appointing the right people, getting people into the jobs, the right people into the right jobs for the right purpose to ensure that the right outcomes are achieved. Otherwise, what on earth are you doing? Running.